Blog Talk Radio.
Clap your hands for Angela.
I grew up in a musical family, so my mother was a music teacher. We had a music school in our house. We had a bunch of pianos, and my mother taught piano, and she taught voice. My grandfather was a pianist. My grandmother was a violinist. My uncle was a singer. You know, all my cousins are musicians. My sister's a musician. So I was the youngest, so my sister was practicing Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata on one of the pianos. And, you know, she played it so many times that I was a little kid sucking my fingers, you know. I don't know, I think I was 3 years old, something, two or three. And I started playing the melody. I could barely reach the notes, but I was playing the melody to Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata as she was practicing on another piano, and they heard it and they freaked out. They're like, oh my God. So that's how it all started. And my mom took me seriously and she started teaching me. But since my ears were so good, I could hear anything and pr- pretty much as soon as I hear it, could figure it out. I didn't want to read the notes. So as soon as my mother would play it, then I would play it back. But I was looking at the paper, but I wasn't reading the notes. I was basically just playing what I heard. And so that's how I started. And basically, I'm from a classical background. My mother, you know, being a classical musician. But my favorite music was what I heard on the radio. So when they weren't around, I would be playing the songs from the radio. And then when my mother was home, I would play Mozart and Bach and Beethoven and Rachmaninoff or whatever I had to practice. And when I was during my junior high school and high school, you know, I'd ride home on a bicycle. But on my way home, I would pass all these bands rehearsing, and I would pull up and listen. And so I would beg the guy. I was just about 11 years old, and I saw a band rehearsing, and I could tell they were struggling with some of the chords they were playing. So I kind of got my way into the rehearsal, and I asked the guy, "Well, hey, I know that song. Would you let me play it? Let me play it?" And once I started playing it, they were like, "Oh my God, this little kid!" And you know, next thing I joined the band, but you know, as soon as my mother would find out, I had to quit, you know. So I built a reputation. How many bands I played in? Oh, my God, count.
You have to quit. I believe you started 11 years old. Am I correct or am I wrong?
Yeah, I started very early. And these were like reggae bands, you know, because this was in Guyana in South America. And so as soon as my mother would find out, "Oh, Loris is in a band," she's like, "What?" And I would have to quit, you know. You know, so I played in like, I don't know, 10, 12 bands. And then nobody wanted me to be in their band because I had a reputation of being a band for 2-3 weeks and then I'd quit. So my sister and I devised. Yeah, because she'd find out. She didn't like that kind of music. So what my sister did, my sister Alice, is like, I joined this one band, and I wanted to play with them. By now, I'm like about 13, right? And so my sister would cover for me. And when we had gigs, my sister would stuff my bed as if I was in the bed, but I wasn't there. I would be playing somewhere, some party somewhere. And they would sneak me in because I was underage, but I would get in and I would play. And so I was in that band for months until one day we played across the – we had to take a ferry to this place that they had like a big party, you know. And we crossed the ferry to a place called Reading Hoop. And we played and we played, and they liked us so much that they wanted us to play one more set. We did one more set, but we missed the ferry going back to the city. So it's Sunday morning, and I get the first ferry back, and I'm walking home, and there's my parents in the garden up early, and they see me walking in, and that's when they found out, you know. Of course, I got in trouble, but then my mother said, like, "I don't want you to lie to me. You could play in the band, you know, just never lie to me, ever." So then that's how it started with me, and that was my love. And then I got a scholarship.
Wow.
But before that, you know, my dad
is very interesting. Mr. Holland, your mother is very, but she had a music school, the Reuben Holland School of Music.
Yeah. Yeah, Ruby Holland School of Music, which was a part of the Royal Schools program. So she trained quite a lot of people. But my dad, you know, he never thought music was something serious that a young man should take seriously, because if you're going to make a living, you got to be an engineer. So I was very smart in school. I graduated high school at 16, you know. I went to a science school. And then my dad sent me to Canada to study electronics. So when I was out there doing electronics, I joined a rock band.
Okay. Did that go over well?
I was in this. I was in this rock band, and we playing in different places, and I didn't like going to school anymore. So I made a deal with the school that I paid a fee so that it could renew my visa. But I never showed up. And then all my money I used to buy equipment. I stopped paying the fees. I'm like, oh, why should I give them the fees? So I started buying equipment and playing in my rock band. And then one day the house where I was staying at was raided by the police for some guy they were looking for. And they asked me for my papers, and they found that my passport was expired. And so I was illegal, and I got deported and sent back home. That's when my parents found out I wasn't studying electronics.
That didn't go over well. I'm sure that didn't.
No, it didn't go over well.
How much trouble did you get in?
Well, my father said, you know, I guess now you're a big man. You went against my will, so you better do well in this music thing, because obviously that's what you want to do. So then I kept going with the music, and then I got a scholarship and came to New York to study music. And this was a long time ago, 1976. Went to Queens College, but I was a classical guy. And that's when I ran into a famous bass player named Marcus Miller. He actually was my neighbor. We went to the same school. And he was a jazz player. And then I started learning jazz from him. And then he hooked me up with some of the session players in New York. And the next thing I'm doing commercials and playing on records. And that's how my career started.
Oh, basically. That's great. That's wonderful. You have a very impressive family, too. It's even more impressive. I mean, you have did so much. You've worked with so many people. I mean, as a performer, a producer, a composer, or arranger, conductor, I believe your clientele, and I cannot name them all, but the website is LORIS Holland, HOLLAND.com. That's his wealth, of course, www. This gentleman is impressed, very impressed. He's worked with Ms. Mariah Carey, Mr. George Clinton, Ms. Whitney Houston is my favorite. Senior still, even though she passed on. My favorite, singer. I love her songs. Love all of them. Also, Miss Aretha Franklin, Mr. Al Green. I have to minister in this because these people, these men and women, have did so much and so much. They're incredibly talented, just like Mr. Lloyd Collins, he's worked with. Miss Al Green, Miss Anita Baker, Miss Vanessa Bell. Oh, wow. Miss Shirley Caesar. So many people. Like I said, everyone, I cannot name them all. He's worked with ABC's, All My Children and Duke Ellison Orchestra, Mr. D.B. Wine, Kenny Lennon. You know something, Mr. Holland, some of these people I've had on my show, I've had Mr. Kenny Lattimore.
She's amazing talent.
She's awesome.
Jonathan
Butler.
Yeah, I met.
Okay. Yes, I was just
saying.
Yeah,
did two albums in Jonathan.
Yes, he's been on my show too. Few of them that have been. There's no way you can name them all. So, what is it that you like doing best? Do you like to play music? Do you like to be a producer, a songwriter, performer, composer, arranger? Which one is your favorite?
Well, actually, I like it all. What I like lately, I've been doing what my mother has been wanting me to do for ages before she died. I'm teaching now, so I have private students. Yeah, and I teach on Skype. I teach vocals, and I teach piano. And my method is teaching people how to play by ear for young songwriters and teaching how to analyze music and then to emulate it, you know. And basically, it's an amazing method, and that's what I've been enjoying lately. And I also like developing artists, like anybody that's talented, you know. If they spark my interest, I really like working with new artists and helping them to realize that they can go past limitations, you know, and stuff like that. The music industry right now is not, I'm not so happy with it right now, but I just love all music, every style of music, from hip hop to rap to classical to pop to gospel, contemporary Christian, R&B, country. I like it all. And, you know, I try to, my new thing on life right now is I'm trying to really influence young people who are coming up, the next maestros of the new world. I want to be able to help as many of them as possible. But like I say, I'm a very tough teacher, and I only teach people who want to learn. So, you know, I expect results, and it's a serious thing. You know, so if all the young guys coming in the game right now, you have to master your craft. You know, you just can't get over because you could play a song or sing a little song. You know, technology now has made it easier for people to sound better. But the artists that last are going to be the artists who work hard. You know, one thing about Mariah Carey that I loved when I met her is that she worked hard. She was always recording, always in the studio. Lauryn Hill, you know, same thing. She worked hard. And, you know, it's hard work. It's, you know, a lot of artists, a lot of young people, they look at the glory and the glitter and the fame. That's not the way to survive in this thing. You have to work hard at perfecting what you do. And that's when you get attention. You know, you just got to keep going. If people tell you, oh, I don't like that song, that's whack, or that's, you just keep going, you know, just keep coming up with more. There's always more, you know. So that's where I am now. So I'm trying to, you know, influence up and coming artists of tomorrow, whether they're musicians or whether they're singers or whether they're writers. You know, I definitely have a wealth of information that I can help them with. And, you know, if anyone is interested, they could just hit me on my, email me at laurishholland@mac.com. And, I have students all over the world. You know, I think I have 25 students around the world and then another 20 over here. So, yeah, I'm always busy with my students.
Okay. I have so you, right now, you're trying to reach out and help the young people. You said you weren't very happy with the music in this day and age. Do you believe that the internet, cyberspace, they have different names for the different social media sites. Do you believe it harms more or helps more, in your opinion?
Well, what I believe is really a moot point at this point. I think it's harmful and helpful because what has happened is that social media has made loneliness even lonelier because, you know, people who are lonely, who have no friends, they have social media. But it's not a real friendship. It's just like, you know, social media has been good for people who just want to express something or say something, you know. And what has happened is people are wrapped up in that. But it's great technology that you can reach the whole world. And so, like, it's like, you know that song, Who Let the Dogs Out? Well, the dogs are out, so we can't pull them back in. So the internet is here, and we can just use it for the best that we can. What we have to be concerned about is don't let it replace your love for humanity. The you know, just interaction with humans is very important. You know, it's always easy to text somebody or post something or on Twitter or Facebook, or but it's better to talk to people. So I have a saying: when you connect with someone, you disconnect from the digital world. But when you connect to the digital world, you disconnect from real people. And I wrote a song called Info Addict. It's about the information age. And it's on my Time Shadow Music website. I have a website called timeshadowmusic.com. Look up Info Addict. It talks all about that.
Okay. I agree with you to a certain extent. So many things you can put out there, and a lot of people pay attention to the internet. But when next month I'll be 47. And so I can simply say where I live at, there were no mobile phones, cell phones. It was some internet. It was some computers, but not a whole lot of technology back then. Was it better back then? Some ways. In some ways, it wasn't, because where I'm from and where I live at now is the place I was born in. And I would not have a digital radio show if it was not for the internet. I've seen some bad things on the internet. Not good. It's not good until you can use hatred, bigotry. But police love, you know, social media. They can find people easily. They can track people easily. They can listen to crazy things and text people's friends list and find people and arrest them. So that's not all. I guess police figure says great, but I don't necessarily say all the time, you know. But it's true. Police can find people that way, and that's negative, I suppose, but it's true too. I also see it in a good way, because, like I said, I just got to saying, I would not have a digital show. I would not be able to talk to you, to interview you without anything.
Listen, can you speak a little louder? Because I'm having a little difficulty hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I apologize.
Okay.
I apologize.
That's okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I was saying is that when I was coming up, there weren't a whole lot of mobile phones. There were no cell phones. I'll be 47 next month. So, you know, it helped me, you know, because I have this show and I can talk to someone like you, someone so talented, someone so gifted. The truth is the truth. There are bad things that do come out of this, that you can express hatred, bigotry, and that's in every race. Sometimes I believe that people go a little bit too far. My try to show everyone respect, especially when I'm interviewing them, you know, because that's what you're supposed to do. That's the way I was brought up, to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir. But, you know, when you start putting things out there that aren't true and they're a major celebrity and people are believing that, that's wrong. But I'm glad to know that what you said about talking to other people, that's great, too. That's where it should be. You know, you shouldn't use it.
Well, There's good and bad in everything, you know. It's like no matter what you do, it brings out the good or the bad in people. So that's a spiritual place, you know, whether you choose to do a good thing or do a bad thing, you know. I don't think the internet is either good or bad. It's how people use it, you know. It just shows you what people are, you know. So the world is really on a trip that's taking us away from morals of just good practice, you know. So you'll find evil and good, just like in music, evil and good. You know, people use everything for their own reasons because it's the nature of people. I mean, that's just how we are. And we make good and bad choices, you know. And some people regret what they do. I've had lots of regrets in life, but I can stand here and say I regret them. But some people will just continue to do that, and they don't regret it. So, you know, we're all different. I'm not here to judge anyone, but, you know, we are where we are in the world, and technology has really influenced all the arts, music, you know, the silver screen, you know, film, you know, graphic arts. And it's only going to get more intense as more technology trickles down into the consumer base, you know. And it's just how it is. We have to adapt. We have to adjust. You know, one thing, music has always painted the trend of each cultural time, each cultural period. Music tells you, like, if you listen to music from the 20s, you 30s, you know, 50s, you know, 70s, you hear disco and you remember those days, or, you know, you hear pop music, sometimes a pop, hear, you know, certain times of hip hop, you knew when it started. So music is an accurate scribe of time. It tells you the history of culture. And now we're in a technological age where everything is very digital and the music sounds that way, you know, and we can't fight it. It's just what it is. You know, it's just, we have to go with the flow because times are changing.
I understand what you're mm-hmm. saying. And people do make bad choices. I'm certainly guilty of that. A lot of them I've learned not to do. That's the price to pay for everything.
Yeah.
That's bad. Yeah, it's always a price to pay. For most people, definitely for me, you also have a band called the Tomorrow Band. Would you like to talk about your band?
Yeah, the Tomorrow Band is Time Shadow. Yeah, Time Shadow is all about peace and love. So, you know, we think that the only way the world can be healed is peace. So every song we write is about peace. And we haven't really released our project yet, although, and that's my fault. I've been involved in so many things. My pet project I haven't been able to release. But the Tomorrow Band is all about peace and peacemaking. And we follow the Prince of Peace, which, you know, that's Jesus Christ. So we're Christians, but we're a band for everybody, you know. We're a band for everybody. So, you know, and most of the music is reggae/electronica. So the first song we released was Info Addict. And that's the one I told you about. Oh, yeah. I'll send you the link. I'll send you the link and you can check it out. You found it?
Right, thank you. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's on your website.
Yeah, the thing about tomorrow is like, it's like the loop, because tomorrow never comes. Today is tomorrow, because yesterday was today. But you know what I mean? Today is yesterday's tomorrow. So we're always yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's what God is saying. I am he who was, he who is, and he is to come. So it's yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we're always today until we get to 11:59, and we're trying to get to tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. Then we're back to today again. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. I understand.
So it's something, you know, so I'm going to have to leave soon because I have to be somewhere in 5 minutes. But, yeah, the Tomorrow Band is a reggae concept based on peace and love. And the world really needs that right now, the way we're going.
Yes, love. It does. Everyone does. Everyone does. I just have one more question. I know you need for everyone, but if you could talk to a young teenager, a young man, and give him some guidance about me, young female, what would you tell them the best lesson or the best experience that you have learned in your career you wear so many different hats, in your career, not your career, what would you tell them the best thing that
the greatest thing that I've learned? The greatest thing that I've learned? Is that the question?
Yes, it is, sir.
Okay, well, that's easy. It's two words. Stay humble. You know?
Stay humble.
If you want to survive a thing, always know there's somebody always better than you. There's always somebody better. So stay humble. You might do good stuff and you might, you know, like God might bless you with like an amazing song and it might touch a lot of people. Don't let it go to your head. Because there's always something greater that's coming, you know, and just be grateful that you have talent, and because you have that talent, it's your responsibility to develop it to the fullest. You know, don't look at the other guy; just look in the mirror. You know, just hard, be grateful and be humble. That's what I would say.
Be grateful. Be
home.
That's great.
Yep.
That is great. All right. I understand you have to go.
Yes, I do. I mean, you know, we could do another one at another time.
Okay, that'd be great. I love to. Really
good. Beautiful.
And I hope the younger people follow you. I mean, not follow you, but email you. You're very talented. Like I said, you can go to. You have two or three websites. You have the timeshadowmusic.com. He also has LaurisHolland.com. Mr. Holland's name is spelled LORIS Holland, HOLLAND.com. This is his, those are his websites. That's two of them. Could you repeat your email address, Mr.
Holland? Yeah, you can give my email address. That's okay. LaurisHolland@mac.com.
And that's how you can contact him if you want to submit music songs.
Yeah, just to let you know, Angela, I also critique a lot of music. So a lot of people reach out to me on LinkedIn. They send me their music, and I listen to it, and I comment, and, you know. And I've found quite a lot of talent that way, and I've helped some of them.
Yes, sir. Okay. And much of course. Yes, sir. Thank you for putting on the show talk with Angela Butler. All right.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Thank you, Sal. All right.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, I can hardly hear you again, but...
Can you hear me now?
Hello? Yeah.
Okay.
So it was my pleasure being here. I'm sorry I have to go, but we can do another one.
Okay, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Okay.
Bye.
Beautiful. Okay, bye.
Hi, everyone, for listening. The show talk with Angela Butler. Lord, Mr. Lawrence Holland, the gentleman I interviewed, he's very successful, very talented, and then so on and on and on. And so many people, from Jim Jones, Miss Millie Jackson, Faith No More, Celine Dion, Reverend Vaughn, formerly of Von BMC, and a host of others, Kitty Lattimore, Beautiful Faith, Mary J. Blige, Santana, Mac Dupree, Karen White, so many people. And he left his email address. He also said a lot of people reached out to him on LinkedIn, so that would probably be the best way to go. Also, listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler.